Begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin daf Samaches. Begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continued to the discussion of the previous daf. And that is how Gemara was discussing the third out of the four categories that our Mishnah spoke about, which is said there's different types. There's a type of relationship that has Kedushin and there's no Avera. Then the child takes after the father. Then there's yes Kedushin and that there is an Avera. Then the third category, which we were discussing, was if there's actually no Kedushin being typhus between this man and this woman. And there's an Avera. But if this woman was to get married to another Jew, Kedushin would be typhus. That's talking about a case of Chiva Krisis of Arais, where there's a prohibition for them to get married with the penalty of Karis, where there's no Kedushin between, let's say, a man and his mother, someone that is going to be a punishment of Karis, that those are types of relationships which there's no Kedushin and there is an Avera. Then the child is going to be a Mamzer. So the Gemara wanted to know, how do we know that there are certain relationships that Kedushin would not be typhus? So that the Gemara explained that we learn that from what's called Hekesh Rabbi Yehuda, just like we know Achais Ishtai, the man's wife, is Achiv Karis, and that there's going to be no Kedushin being typhus. So too, regarding all other Arayas, that's going to be the Halacha. That was one approach the Gemara had. Now the Gemara says, Rav Achav Yaakov Amma, he says, Asya, he learns that from a different source. Says that we learn that the other Arayas, that Kedushin is not going to be typhus by them, but Kavuchemim Miyavama, from a Kavuchemim, from a Yavama Lashuk, which is a woman that her husband just died without any children, and she's waiting for Yibam to our brother-in-laws. Now, for such a woman, if she goes ahead and gets married to someone else, what's called Lashuk, the halacha is Kedushin is not Taifis. As Rav says in Masechtas Yevamah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, how do you know Kedushin is not Taifis in a Yevamah? Because the Pasuk says, Leisiyah Eishes HaMeis HaChutza, which the interpretation is that there shouldn't be siyah, which is always the terminology we use for havaya, for kedushin, for the wife of the one who died, chutzah, meaning to the outside, to another foreign person that's not the yavam. So we learn out that by the yavam, there's no kedushin going to be typhus. So we say, kavuchemer, uma yavama shibalav, if regarding a yavama to marry someone else besides the yavam, who there's a zika between her and her brother-in-law, to do Yibmur Chalitza, if she marries someone else, is only a negative prohibition, and still Leitavsi, but Kedushin, still as we learn Masechtas Yevamos, Kedushin is not going to be typhus with that other person. So Chiva Mises, V'Chiva Krisis, like Halshken. So when there's a death penalty here on by the courts, or from one of them, from Shemayim, with Karis, that the person dies young, isn't it a Kavachemer, for sure, where it's a more severe penalty, more severe transgression, then for sure the Allah is going to be that Kedushin is not going to be typhus. So the Gemara says, if that's the source, like Rav Achav Yaakov is bringing, so Ihachi, if that's the case, so Sharchi Yivalav Nami, then actually you should learn out other negative prohibitions, not only Achiv Misa, as we were saying, Achiv Karis in our Mishnah, but even just if it's a negative prohibition, where although you can't learn it off Makal B'chemer, because it's not more severe than the case of Yevam L'Shug, but you should learn it out at least from what's called a Binyan Av with a Mametzinu, which just like you find by Yevam, which is a negative prohibition and Kedushin not Taifis, so to all negative prohibitions of relationships, Kedushin shouldn't be typhus. So why are we saying in our Mishnah that the child's going to be a mamzer, but Kedushin is not typhus? Pechiva krisis, when it should be by even negative prohibitions. So Amar Papa, Papa says, Chiva lavin behed yiksibhu. Regarding a negative prohibition, the Pasuk is explicit to say that Kedushin is typhus. And that was actually the second category of the case of our Mishnah, regarding when there is going to be Kedushin, even though there's an Avera. There's halacha, different halacha, it goes regarding Pogim Shabishneim, but the child's not a mamzer because Kedushin is typhus. Where do we see explicitly that the Torah tells you that by negative prohibition, if it's not an erva of Karis or Chiv Mises Bezin, that Kedushin would be typhus? As the Pasuk says in Devar, the Pasuk says, Kisiyanu le'ish shtei nashim, that if there's going to be to a man two wives, ha'achas ahuva va'achas nua, one will be beloved, one will be hated. So the Pasuk there concludes in Chof Alav Tezvav, V'yoldu le'vonim, and then they'll have sons for him. Ha'ahuva v'asnua, the beloved one and the hated one. And v'hoya ha'ben ha'bechar l'sniya, and the firstborn son is going to be for the hated one. So there the Torah tells you, although she's the hated one, but since the firstborn child is born from her, so therefore the halacha is a bechar, which is that the firstborn gets a double portion, goes to the hated one's son and not to the beloved one's son. Now, on that, says the Gemara, is there a woman that's hated in regards to how Hashem sees it, or a beloved one? In other words, even if you're saying and interpreting the pasuk, when it says the beloved one, the hated one, it doesn't mean that and from heaven they hate her or love her, but rather it means that the husband, he loves one and hates the other one. And that is what the Gemara is saying. You think Hashem cares about that the husband hates or loves the wife, in other words, to change the halachas of inheritance? That the Torah had to tell you, oh, lo yuchel levakris ben ahuva, you cannot make the firstborn status to the one that you love. No, it has to go to the real firstborn one, which is the one that's hated. The Torah should not have written that. The Torah should have just written, ki es habachar yakir, that it should recognize the firstborn son. And I would know that it doesn't make a difference if the husband hates the wife, loves the wife. What does Hashem care that he's going to change his laws because this guy hates one wife or loves another wife? So Ella rather explains the Gemara, when it says there's one that's beloved, one that's hated, ahuva, ahuva benisu eha, when it means one is beloved, it means beloved in her relationship, in her marriage to this man, meaning it's a permitted marriage. Snua is snua benisu eha. When it says one is hated, it means it's hated, she's hated in her marriage, meaning in front of Hashem. What does that mean? Because there's a negative prohibition for this woman to get married to this man. And still, v'kamerachmana kisiyana, and still the Torah is saying that kisiyana le'ishtein Hashem, when a man will have two wives. Yes, one Hashem hates the marriage, one Hashem loves. Because that's what Hashem is conveying when he tells you that don't have this marriage, because a negative prohibition. So although one is snua, is a negative prohibition for her to get married to this man, still we see that there's a siyana, that there is havaya, that there is kedushin. Now later on the Gemara is going to ask, how does the Gemara know to prove this point that it's referring to, that as we see a source clearly, the Kedushin is going to be Taifas Bechiv Alavin, because it says this term Kisiyena, although there's one that is a Sanua, how do you know it's referring to a Chiv Aloisase? Maybe it's referring to a Chiv Ase, which is a lesser type of a transgression, just a positive commandment and not a negative prohibition. But that's what the Gemara is saying right now, that's why the comparison is only being learned out as a kavachayma from Yavama Lashuk to Chiva Krisis by Arayas, which is the third category of a Mishnah, that condition not going to be Taifas, but not to Chiva Lavin, because Chiva Lavin, we have clearly the Pasuk says that there is Kisiyana, there is condition going to be Taifas by Chiva Lavin. Now, in that the Gemara asks, Rabbi Kiva to Amma, but according to Rabbi Kiva, that he says himself this Yavamas, that actually in condition Taifas and Chiva Lavin, he holds that condition does not take effect, even if it's just a negative prohibition, which as the Mishnah teaches on Nun Amud Beis, that if a brother-in-law, the Yavam, does Chalitza, and then after this Chalitza he does Maimer, which is a rabbinic Kedushin, in the Yavama, so the Mishnah there says, in la'acha Chalitza klum. There's no halacha that's going to take effect after the Chalitza. In other words, the Maimer will not take effect to require a get for that Maimer. Why? Because right now after he does Chalitza, there's a negative prohibition in the Torah that says, lo yibana, once he did chalitza, he can't go ahead and build her back again, meaning to do yibum, which is what Maimer leads towards. Now, the Gemara there explains, in the Braisa, Rebbe says that the opinion of that Mishnah is going according to Rebbe Kiva, because he makes a chalutza like an erva, meaning because a chalutza, there's a negative prohibition of now not doing yibum anymore, which is, so therefore you have a negative prohibition to marry this woman, the yivama, which Rebbe explains, Rebbe Kiva holds, is like making her like an erva, meaning just like we hold, like in our Mishnah, that Chiva Krisis are Arayas and Kedushin not going to be Taifas. Rebbe Kiva considers even a negative prohibition, like a Chalutza, as a woman like an erva, that Kedushin not going to be Taifas. So on that, the Gemara asks, so according to Rebbe Kiva, Kisiyenda by my Mukim, how's he going to explain that Pasuk? In other words, he's obviously not learning the way we're learning in our Mishnah. So, but this that the Gemara had brought, that you see from the Pasuk, Kisiyenda le'ishtei noshim, that even though one of them is snua, is hated in her marriage, which we had just interpreted to mean that because there's a negative prohibition that's being violated, and still we see that the siyena, that kedushin is going to be taifas, but Rebbe Kiva clearly doesn't hold like that. He holds that kedushin is not taifas by Chiva Lavin. So how does he understand that pasuk that there's going to be siyena, there's going to be kedushin even by one of the wives that's a snua in her nisuin? So the Gemara says, ba'amon l'kohen gadol. That would be talking about specifically when a widow marries a kohen gadol, where although generally Rebbe Kiva holds kedushin is not taifas by Chiva Lavin, although that is a negative prohibition in the Torah for a widow to get married to Kohen Gadol, by that specific halacha, kedushin actually is taifas, because the Torah reveals clearly that the child of that union is not a mamzer, and only a chal. And as we say, that's always the relationship where if kedushin is taifas, the child is not a mamzer. If kedushin is not taifas, then the child is a mamzer. So since we see that the child is not going to be a mamzer, obviously that in that case, Rebbe Kiva agrees kedushin is going to be taifas. Like Rebbe Simoi says, the time, like learned the Braisa, Reb Simoi says, min ha-koil ho Rebbe Kiva isa mamzer. From every negative prohibition that the Torah has of a certain union, Rebbe Kiva says the child is going to be an illegitimate child, a mamzer. chutz me'amon l'kohen gadol, except when a widow gets married to kohen gadol. Shari amr teru, because the Torah says in Mayikra lo yichalil, says that kohen gadol should not marry an amana, and therefore because he shouldn't desecrate his children, which tells us chilul ha'moisel. He makes his child into a chalal or a chalala, which means to say that they have certain invalidating factors regarding the kahuna. But he doesn't turn them into an illegitimate child, which makes problems not just for kahuna, but for entering into marriage into the whole of the Jewish people. So since you say the child's not a mamzer, so obviously kedushin is typhus, that's what he would say, that's the achas snua in that case, is referring to when she's a widow married to a kohen gadol, where although it's a negative prohibition, kedushin is typhus, and that's why it says kisiyan in that pasuk. However, the Gemara continues asking, it says, but Ul Rabbi Shevav, the Amad that he said, the following statement. He says, Boyu ben etzavach al Akiva ben Yosef. He says, let's come and shout at Akiva ben Yosef, who is creating a lot of invalidating children, psulim, in the Jewish people, because Shehoyo Emer, he said, Kol she'in lo biya b'Yisrael, whenever there's no permissibility for this cohabitation in the Jewish people between this man and the woman, he says, Havlad is mamzer. The child then automatically becomes a mamzer. So that's the statement that he says. So the Gemara explains. Hanichal Rabbi Yeshevav, it's very well, we could also explain according to Rabbi Yeshevav, if what he was saying was not a general statement, but rather, Ilaf Vukim mid Reb Simoi Kasi, if he was only coming to exclude from what Reb Simoi, who we just quoted, was coming to say, in other words, because Reb Simoi was saying, yes, Rabbi Kiva holds any Chiyuv Lavin is going to create a child of Mamzer, except for one of the Chiyuv Lavin, which as we explained, is Amon L'Kohen Gadol. And that is what Rabbi Sheva was coming to say. That's not true, Rabbi Simoi. Actually, every single last Chiyuv Lavin, even Amon L'Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Kiva says the child is going to be a Mamzer. So if Rabbi Sheva was only addressing and excluding for Rabbi Simoi from that halach of Amon L'Kohen Gadol, so then Shaper. So then you could also explain, according to Rabbi Sheva, in his interpretation of Rabbi Kiva, what does Kisiyan in that pasuk mean to say, even though it's Snu B'Nisu Eho, it would be referring to a Mitzri or an Adoimi within the first three generations when they convert to Judaism, where there's a positive commandment for not to marry into the Kehillah of the Jewish people. As the pasuk says, Dor Shlishi Yavai. When they reach the third generation, then they could enter into the Kehillah of the Jewish people, but not the second generation. So that would be the case of what the pasuk is referring to, of Sinua B'Nisu Eho, that she's hated in her marriage, where yes, but Kedushin would be typhus, because it's not a Chiv Alois, I say, it's not a negative prohibition, it's just a positive commandment. Better Eli'i Taimid Dinav Sheikama, but if Rabbi Sheva was not addressing Rabbi Simoi, rather he was saying his own statement, he was giving a general statement, which was that whenever there's a prohibition in regarding this bia, this cohabitation, the child's going to be a mamzer, which that sounds like Rafa L'chiv Aseh, even if it's a positive commandment, whatever is forbidden, whether based on a negative prohibition or positive commandment. So then according to that interpretation, B'may Mokim Law, so then what are you going to explain the pasuk of Kisiyan L'ish if she's a snua in her nisuin, because you're not supposed to have bia with her, no matter what type of bia, so how are you going to explain that there's a case of snua with Kisiyana if in that version of Rabbi Sheva in Rabbi Kiva, any type of prohibitory bia is not going to have condition being typhus. So that Gemara explains, Bebe'ud L'Kohen Gadol. Then the case would be talking about when you have a woman that's not a virgin who gets married to a Kohen Gadol, where that's a case of it's a positive commandment, whereas the Pasuk says in Yikach Chafalav, it says, Isha B'Fsuleha Yikach. Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula, a virgin, and not a Be'ula, a woman that's not a virgin anymore. Now, Alav haba mechalal aseh, a negative commandment, meaning what you shouldn't do, which comes because of the positive commandment, what you should do, is classified as a aseh, as a positive commandment. Now Rashi just addresses one point and says, forget about the fact that she's not a besula anymore. How'd she become a be'ula? Because she had bia with another man. So either she's a zayna, or she's a widow, or she's a grusha. There's a reason how she became a be'ula. And therefore, that itself should disqualify her from the Kohen Gadol. So that Rashi actually says no, because the bia, the fact when a penuya, when an unmarried, when a single woman becomes a be'ula, that does not qualify her as a zayna. And actually, as the Bach brings it, even according to Eliezer, that holds that actually she could become a zayna even as a single woman, but still you can still find the case where she's not going to become a zayna, which is when she was a minor who was married by her mother, where she's later allowed to go ahead and do miyun, so therefore she's not a grusha or an almona, and neither is she a zayna because the bia she had was permissible according to rabbinic sanction, and that's how the Gemara in Yevamah stuff on Testament Base explains. So therefore, as the Gemara in Yevamah Samach Alf Amar Alf explains, that a zayna is only, let's say, by a geyeris or meshachreres. someone that has bia of a bia's nus with someone that's prohibited to her, that would make her. But a bu'ula, where she was single and she had bia, that does not turn her into a zayna or anything like that. So therefore, the only thing that's really prohibited over here is the positive commandment of the kohen gadol marrying a basula. That's the case that we'd be talking about in the pasuk where, although it's a snua, but there would be kisiyan, the kedusha would be tevis over there. Now, that the Gemara asks, am I shna? But what's the difference between this positive commandment and the other positive commandments, like we said, by Mitzri and the Doimi, where there you're agreeing that Kedushin wouldn't be Taifas? So why over here, by this positive commandment, would you say that that's what the pasuk is coming to address, that Kedushin would be Taifas? So the Gemara says, Mishum da havale asei she'in shavu b'kal, because it's more lenient than all the other positive commandments. So in general, positive commandments are the most lenient commandments, in contrast to negative prohibitions, chiv krisis, chiv misis bezdin. And moreover, even as a positive commandment, it doesn't apply to everybody. It has a limited scope. It's only regarding a kohen gadol. He's the only one in the world that has to marry a besula. So since it's ein shav b'kol, it's not equal to all the Jewish people. So it's a limited and not as severe positive commandment. And that's why we would say that kisiyana, when it's talking about sinua b'nisueha, would be a reference to a bu'ula kohen gadol. Now the Gemara asks, but v'rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, now based on what we just answered for Bekiva, that they explain, as we said before, the pasuk kisiyana, that kedushin is going to be taifas, even by chiyuv alavin, and that's why that answered the question. Although Rav Acha ben Yaakov is giving a second interpretation, different than the Gemara in the previous daf, that how do we know that all arise in the Torah, kedushin is not going to be taifas? From a kavod chomer of Yivam L'shuk, which is just a negative prohibition, which we asked, okay, so then why don't you say mamatzina to all negative prohibitions, that kedushin shouldn't be taifas? So we said, no, because it says kisiyana, there is going to be kedushin, even though she's senua b'kedusheha, which we explained, according to Rabbanan, is coming to include chiv alavin. But the question is, since you could learn out from Yivama, from a mamatzina, which was the original question, that kedushin is not taifas b'chiv alavin, so therefore the question is, ademukila b'chiv alavin, instead of explaining as we had answered originally, that kisiyana is saying, no, kedushin is taifas by negative prohibitions, and that's what we meant when the pasuk says senua, but nukma b'chiv asei, why don't we say the same thing we explained for Rabbi Kiva? Why don't you say that when it's saying kedushin is going to be taifas, it's only by positive commandments, mitzri, adoimi, bulukan gadol, but who said that a negative prohibition, which is more severe, that that's what kisiyana refers to? Actually, to the contrary, you should learn from a mamatzinu, which comparing the variables, the characteristics from Yivam Lashog, which is a negative prohibition and kedushin not taifas, you should also say by any other negative prohibition that kedushin is not taifas. Why say that that's what kisiyana means when you could say kisiyana means something lower down than that which the chiva say? So the Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Hanechiva say b'mayninu. How would you explain the pasuk of kisiyana that saying kedushin is going to be taifas, even though one of them is sinua, because she's hated in her marriage because it's a violation of a positive commandment? Which positive commandment? Ish dein mitzriyos, if you would say that they're both Egyptian women before the third generation converts, well then shtein snuos, then they're both hated. And the pasuk saying one is hated and one is beloved. I achas mitzvah, achas Yisraelis. Now if one of them is Egyptian convert before the third generation, and the other one is a regular Jewish woman, so that's how you could say one is ahuva, one is snua. But shtein noshim, which may am echad be in, and the Torah tells you, it calls them two women, which sounds like that they have they're equal in the nation that they come from. They're from one nation, where and still one is beloved, one is hated, and therefore you can't say one is a mitzvah, one is Yisraelis. So therefore it can't be a mitzvah or a daimi. And ibu'ula kohen gadol, if you're going to explain like we explained even for that version of Rabbi Shevav that would be referring to a ibu'ula kohen gadol, but that also is difficult to explain because miksiv siyena l'kayin, as the Torah says, when you're going to have that these women are married to a kayin, then one's going to be ahuva and one's going to be senua. It doesn't say that. It says kisiyena l'ish. But if you're explaining that the case of kisiyena, of having one senua, is only by a kayin, because that's the case of bu'ula kohen gadol, then it should have said kisiyena l'kayin and not kisiyena l'ish. And in fact, it says l'ish sounds like it's referring to any regular man. So what could it be talking about? There's no chiva aseis available, because we have the problem of then shtei nashim, has to be from one nation, and it can't be from both mitzvahs, because then there's both are snua, and it can't be bu'ula kohen gadol, because then it should have said kisiyena l'kayin. Therefore, we have no choice but to learn it out, even talking about chiva lois aseis, and that's why, again, we don't have the question of learning out from a mamatzina, from Yivam L'shok, why it only applies as a kavod chomer to chiva misis, to chiva krisis, and not to a chiva lois aseis. Now the Gemara says, so Rebbe Kiva, so what does Rebbe Kiva do? because as we said, he cannot learn kisiyena like the Rabbana learning regarding chivalavim, because Yotz chivalavim kedushin actually is not teifis. And the pasuk is saying that kedushin is teifis, that kisiyena. So what are we going to do with his opinion? So the Gemara says, bal karchich shavke lekra. What you have to do is you have to leave the pasuk. Davadachik umukke inavshi, that it's going to be contrived, and you have to explain that as it is. In other words, you're right, according to Rabbi Kiva, since the pasuk tells you by Yavama that kedushin is not teifis, so actually you learn out from there, according to Rabbi Kiva, and as we find his opinion in other places in Shas, that chivalavin kedushin is not teifis. Now, when the Torah does tell you chisiyana regarding the ahuva and the snua, what you have to say, you're right, it is contrived, it is difficult, as the Gemara just pointed out why the Rabbanan don't learn like that, but Rabbi Kiva that does learn out from Yavama from Mamamatzino, the condition is not typhus, must learn Kisiyana, when is it going to be typhus? Either by Chiva Asei, for example, when one is a Mitzvah and one is a Yisraelis, so although it's not Me'am Echad, he'll have to say, although it says Shtei Noshim, it still will not mean from one nation, or contribute Shevav, it's going to have to be start talking about Abu L'Kan Gadol, and although it says Kisiyana L'ish, and it doesn't say kisi likain, but what are we going to do with it? That's how you have to interpret the pasuk, because it cannot be referring to loisa says, because you learn it from a mamatzin, according to Rabbi Kiva, from Yavama Lashok, that kedushin is not teifis by chiva lavad. And therefore, he has to interpret the pasuk again in these two ways of the chiva say. Now the Gemara continues with the last of the four categories of the Mishnah regarding different types of marriages. So it said, v'chol mi she'ein la Allah v'chulu. And any woman that he doesn't have kedushin with her, and neither would any other Jewish man have kedushin with her, so then the child is havlad kamaisa, is going to take after the mother. And the two cases that the Mishnah said was Ezezu is a shivcha and a nachris, a non-Jewish woman. So the Gemara explains the source of these two halachas. Shivcha kananis menalan. Where do we know regarding a non-Jewish maidservant that if a man, a Jewish man, would try to engage her to have marriage with her, kedushin would not be teifis? So Amar Avunah says, because Amar Kra, the pasuk says in Bereishis, when Avraham Avinu was taking Yitzchok to the Akedah, so he left Yishmol and Eliezer on the bottom, and he said to them, Shvu lechem poyem achamar, stay here together with the donkey. Now, the reference, what that was, is that it was actually referring to Eliezer, because Eliezer was from the people of Canaan, and he was saying, Am hadoyim lechamar. It's like the people that are similar to a donkey, in other words, that they're not considered from the commonality of the Jewish people, where just like you can't get married to a donkey, so to kedushin is not teifis by a shivcha kananis, by someone from the Kanani, from the non-Jewish people. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Ashkechon deleitavse by kedushin. Okay, so we see obviously that kedushin is not teifis in a shivcha kananis. But as we continue to Tamid Beis, Vladika Maisa Menon, how do we know that the child takes after the mother? So now the Gemara says, the Amakras, the pasuk says in Shemais, says, the woman and her children will be for her master. Now this pasuk is talking about a shivcha kananis, a non-Jewish maidservant, who's designated for the Eved Ivri, for the Jewish slave. He's actually a Jewish person who sold as a slave to a Jewish master. On that, the Torah tells us that the child that he has with the shivcha kananis does not leave with him when he leaves after 6 years. It stays with the mother, which is by the ownership of the master. So you see that the child takes after the mother, he's considered a Kanani, and that's why he stays in servitude and doesn't take after the father. So that explains the halacha of Shivcha Kananas. Nachris Menalan, how do we know the same halacha applies to a non-Jewish woman? So Amakra, the pasuk says in the Devarim, loisis chatin bam, which means there shouldn't be any halachas of chitun, of marriage, between a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman. Now, ashkachan udu leitavse by kedushi. So again, we know the first half of the halacha, that kedushi is not teifis. How do we know that the child is going to take after the non-Jewish mother and not after the Jewish father? So, because the pasuk afterwards says, which the first half of that pasuk says, your daughter, you shouldn't give to his son, and your Jewish daughter shouldn't give to that non-Jewish man's son. And it says that his daughter you shouldn't take for your son. Now, and then the pasuk says, because ki yasir es bincha me'achar. Hashem says, because he will turn your son away from me. Now, the inference Reb Shimon Yochai learns is from the fact that it doesn't say ki yasir es bitcha, because it's saying he. He is the non-Jewish husband. So really, it should have said, oh, don't marry off your daughter to his son, because he will turn your daughter away from Judaism. It doesn't say that. It says, because he will turn your son away. What does it mean he will turn your son? You're not marrying your son to his son. So actually the reference is your son that's born from the non-Jewish man, from your daughter, that non-Jewish father will turn your grandson away from Judaism. That comes to teach you that bint chahabami Yisraelis, your son that comes from a Jewish woman, meaning your daughter's son, even if it's coming from a relationship with a non-Jewish man, karabintcha, that's being called your son. So that's what the Torah is warning. Don't marry off your daughter to his son because he's going to turn your son away from Judaism, which means to say you're not marrying off your son because it means your daughter's son is being called your son. And that is a Jewish person, and therefore it's in danger of having this interrelationship because he will turn away his Jewish son, him being non-Jewish, he'll turn his Jewish son away from Judaism. But one thing we see from the pasuk is the in bintcha habam and avedes kechavim kari bintcha. But your son that comes from your Jewish son with his non-Jewish wife, that's not called your son. Because from the fact that the pasuk doesn't say also, it says only because he will turn away your son. It doesn't say ki sasser es bintcha. It doesn't say because she will turn away your son, which that would tell us that the pasuk is also particular regarding his daughter. When it says biter lisikach levin necha, that don't take his daughter for your son, it doesn't say because ki sasser, that because then she's going to turn away your son, means say your grandson from your son. It doesn't say that. Why not? Because actually your grandson from your non-Jewish daughter-in-law is not your son. It's not called bincha. Ella bina. Actually, it's only going to be called her son. Now, as Rashi points out, it's not that we're inferring this from the pasuk per se. It's rather what we're learning out is from the fact that the Torah is only particular and concerned about the Jewish people becoming in the interfaith marriage where you're going to have the Torah was concerned about the son that you have from your daughter, but it wasn't concerned about the son that's being born from her, meaning from your son. Obviously, from there you see that your son that's born from a Jewish woman is called your son, but your son born from a non-Jewish woman, even though the father, your son, is Jewish, that's not called bincha, and therefore that's the source for the halacha where we see that the vlada is kamaisa like the non-Jewish woman. Now, Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Shema Mino, what we infer from this, and the Rishonim discuss exactly what is Ravina adding on to what we just said, that from the fact that we called the son of a Bas Yisrael that comes even from a non-Jewish man, bincha, that ben bitcha habam and oevit kechavim, kar bincha, again, that your daughter's son, that even if it's from a non-Jewish father, is called your son. So on that, the Gemara asks, Neimek Sav Ravina, is this to say that Ravina holds that oevit kechavim ve'evet, that if a non-Jewish man or a slave Haba Bas Yisrael that has relations with a Jewish woman and they father a child from her, that Avlad Mamzer, similarly, we learn and infer from this that the child's going to be a Mamzer. Because it seems like what he's trying to say is that you don't say that the child will take after the father who's non-Jewish. Meaning, because actually that would be a leniency. If he takes after the father that's a non-Jewish person, if he then later converts to Judaism, his mother's Jewish, he wants to have a close relationship with her, then actually he would be permitted to marry into the Kila like any non-Jewish person who converts. But rather, says Ravina, and that's what the Gemara is asking, it sounds like that he takes after his Jewish mother. Now, since this child is born in sin, because here you have the Jewish woman having relations with someone that's forbidden to her, which is a non-Jewish man or a slave, so then he will then be a Yisrael Pasul, like any other child that's born from a relationship that there's no Kedushin that's being typhus. As we always say, that's the correlation when there's not Kedushin being typhus. As we just mentioned, there's no Kedushin being typhus with a non-Jewish or man or a slave. That he's going. So seemingly, what we learn out from Ravina is that the child's going to be a Mamzer. So that the Gemara says that no, you cannot infer from this halach of Ravina that the child's going to be a Mamzer. And the reason being is because you're right. Nehi de kasher lehava. You're right that he's not going to be a full-fledged, high-standard yichus of a Jewish person, because you're right, from the fact that he takes after his Jewish mother, and he was born in sin because his mother committed a sin by having relations and having a marriage to a non-Jewish man or a slave. But mamzer lehava, that doesn't mean, however, that you can infer, although he's not going to be a kosher, a pure, untainted Jewish person, that doesn't mean, however, that it goes to the other extreme that he can be considered a mamzer. Because actually, as the Gemara says in Yevamos Dav Memheim Beis, that we know at the halachas of Mamzer from having marriage with a father's wife, where the Gemara there says, just like a father's wife, the Kedushin is not Taifis, but she would have Kedushin, this father's wife, with any other Jewish man besides her husband's son. So it's regarding such a relationship that we say that the child's going to be Mamzer, because right after that it says, Lo Yaveh Mamzer. So to any other relationship where there wouldn't be any, there would be Kedushin with someone else, just not with this person, then the child's going to be a Mamzer. But that's not the case what we're discussing over here regarding a non-Jew, where their Kedushin is not Taifis at all with any Jewish person. So that doesn't qualify you for a Mamzer. Rather, as we said in our Mishnah, Pasul Mikri. In other words, that the child's going to be considered as a Pasul, like any other child that's born in sin from a negative prohibition or a positive commandment, where the child does not become a Mamzer. So again, that's in our Mishnah we spoke about, that actually takes after the mother. If it takes after the mother is, in that case, a Shifcha or a non-Jewish woman, so that's he's totally non-Jewish, and then he could convert and be permitted in totality. It doesn't have even any psul. But here, where it's the other way around, where it's if you have a Jewish woman who it takes after the Jewish woman, married to a non-Jewish man or a slave, so since it's taking after her and he will be Jewish, but the problem is it's a Jewish, but there's some type of psul, it's still some invalidating factor. There is a pagam over here, but that doesn't mean, says the Gemara, that he's being considered a mamzer, because as mamzer is only, like we said, in the third category of our Mishnah, where it's an error unique to this person, that condition would be typhus in someone else, just not with you. Then, if it's with an avera, then the child's a mamzer. But in an eved ivri or a nachri, where condition not typhus with any Jewish person, actually that obviously is a problem when a Jewish woman has that, but it's only psul and not a mamzer. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on the limud that we learned before. Hahu, that those two psukim that we brought up, like Tischatein and Kiyasir, which taught us this halacha of when the woman is a nachris, that the child, first of all, Kedush is not Taifis, which we learn from like Tischatein Bam, and then that the child takes after the mother, we learn that from Kiyasir. The problem is, has the Gemara, that those psukim, Beshiva Gayim, in reference to the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael, that's where Ksiv, that's where they're written. And therefore, we don't really have a source for, as the Gemara says, Shar Umis Menalim, where do we know regarding all the other nations of the world that a Kedusha is not Typhus, and that the child's going to take after the mother? Because those Sukkim only talk about the seven nations, maybe only over there Kedusha is not Typhus, and the child takes after the mother. So another Gemara says, Amar Krab, because the Pasuk says, Ki Yasir Es Bintcha. It says, it doesn't just say not to marry the A Loitaschat, not to marry them, and moreover that the child's going to take after the mother. It says, because they're going to turn your child away from Judaism. So why does it say the reasoning for? L'rab is kolam esrim. It's coming to tell you to include any non-Jewish person, where if the parent, one of the parents is going to be non-Jewish, they're going to turn your child away from Judaism. Therefore, it's saying inclusive term for all the nations of the world. Now, on this answer, the Gemara asks, Hanicha l'Rabbi Shimon. This answer works very well according to Rabbi Shimon. The Dorish time of the Krah, that in general, he expounds the reasonings of Pesukim. Whereas the Gemara Bab Metzi expounds on this a little bit in Daf Koftez Vav Med Aleph regarding a widow. The Reb Shimon's opinion is that a wealthy woman, you're allowed to take collateral from her, a mashkin, for let's say a loan that you gave her, where you take collateral. But it's only a poor woman that you're not allowed to. In other words, because he explains that the reason that the Torah says Leisach bol beged amon, that you should not take collateral from the garment of the widow, is only because, as Reb Shimon understands, what's the rationale of the pasuk? It's because you're going to have to give her back her collateral every evening because she's poor. Now, since you're going to be constantly coming and going by her in the morning to take the collateral and nighttime to give her back the collateral because she needs it to go to sleep at nighttime, you're going to start giving her a bad name amongst her neighbors. So says Reb Shimon, it's only by a poor woman, a wealthy woman, that she doesn't need the collateral back every single day. You could take collateral because that's not going to create any bad rumors about her because you're not going to have to come and go by her. Now, similarly, according to Reb Shimon, he would also expound what's the reasoning why you're not allowed to intermarry. Would be, he would understand the rationale of the pasuk is kiyasir, because then they're going to take your child away from Judaism. Now, therefore, according to Reb Shimon, the pasuk didn't have to tell you the reasoning, because he always learns the reasoning. So why, when the pasuk says kiyasir, when it actually then explicitly says the reasoning, it's superfluous. And therefore, yes, according to Reb Shimon, that would be coming to include the other nations of the world to tell you that anyone that's maser your children from Yiddishkeit, from Judaism. No, but however, El Rabbanim, according to Rabbanon, they actually need the Pasuk to explicitly tell us that it applies only to the seven nations of Eretz Canaan, because to the contrary, saying Ki Yasser is excluding the other nations of the world, because actually they're not such idol worshippers like the seven nations of Eretz Canaan. Because as the Gemara Chulin Daf, the Gimel Beis tells us that actually the nations out of Eretz Yisrael, they're not such real idol worshippers. They're just what's called Minig HaVaseim Bideim. They just keep the customs that they have from their parents. And therefore, saying Ki Yasser is not a ribuy, it's not a superfluous term to include the other nations. It's actually by explaining that why is Chit Nasser, because the Rabban don't usually say rationales. They say, this is what the Torah says, this is what it says, and it would apply to everything. When the Torah then tells you, oh, you know why you can't intermarry? Because they're going to take your children away from Judaism? Oh, you're giving a reason? Oh, that would then qualify the halacha to say that, oh, it applies to who really would do that, would be the seven nations of the world, and not the other nations, that they're not such idol worshippers. They're not going to be so caring that the child should stay Jewish or not. So actually, according to Rabban and my timer, actually according to them, how do you know the halacha applies to the other nations of the world when actually giving the reason is actually would tell us that it only applies to the Sheva Umayyads and not to the other nations of the world? As Rashi points out, the Gemara says a similar discussion in Sanhedrin of Chafalav and Maralav, when the Torah says, Layarbalay Nashim, that the king should not have too many wives. And it says, why? Because Layasa Lavavi, they shouldn't turn his heart astray. Now, according to Reb Shimon, that lo yasser is superfluous. Because without the pasuk telling me the rationale, he would have expounded it on his own, as he always learns up, that's what the Torah wants from you. Now, according to Rabbanan, that they don't usually expound the reasoning of the pasuk, so the Torah is telling you the reason which has halachic ramifications. So that's the same question over here. What's the reason according to Rabbanan then? How do we know it applies to the other nations of the world too? So now the Gemara says, because Amakra, the pasuk says in Devarim, the achar kain, which that's in the parasha of the Eishes Yifas Torah, says that after that, meaning after that you delayed, you did all the tactics that the Torah wants from you to then permit this beautiful maiden that was taken in captivity, which you have to let her sit there and cry and grow her nails long and so on and so forth. So it says after you did that whole process, he's Tove Yelehu Uva Alta Begrema. Then you could come to her and you could cohabit with her and etc. Now, the pasuk there says, then after you did all those things, V'haysalacha, and then she could be for you. Now, the word haisa, as we always say, connotes havaya, that then there's going to be kedushin. So says the Gemara, mechlal, the inferences, the mikara, that before that, before this heter, before you did all those things you had to do from this non-Jewish woman that was taken into captivity, that there wasn't any vahaisa then. There wasn't any havaya then. Because leitavsiba kedushin, that actually kedushin is not taifis in the non-Jewish woman. Unless in Yifas Torah we have all these different things that you do, then the Gezeiras HaKasav says that then it's going to be permitted. Now, as the Maseiras HaShas references on the side, that pasuk must be talking about the Shar Umayis and not the seven nations of Eretz Canaan. Because the pasuk there says in Devarim Chafal of Yud, B'Shavisa Shivyai, that you take this beautiful woman as a captive, because in contrast to the Shiva Umayis, the Torah says in Devarim Chav Tezayin, Leisachai Kol Neshama, you can't take them as captivity, you can't keep them alive. So the fact that you're taking her in captivity, obviously is talking about one of the other nations of the world. And still the Torah says that it's only when you do that whole process of Yifas Torah that then she's going to have the height so that you could have Kedushin. Obviously it says that in general, Kedushin is not typhus even by any other woman of the nations of the world. So the Gemara says, okay, Ashkechan do leitafsi b'Kedushin. So we have a source now, not just for the Shiva Umayis, but for any non-Jewish woman, that Kedushin is not typhus. However, v'lod dekamayis menon, how do we know that the child takes after the mother? So too by regarding the other nations of the world. Amakra, so the pasuk says later on, it says, Kisiyana le'ish v'yolduloi, that if, when there will be a marriage to a man, and they will give birth to him, which the pasuk says that the child's lineage takes after the father. What does that tell us? Kalhecha dekarina be'kisiyana, whenever there is kisiyana, which again connotes kedushin being typhus, then Karina, baby Yodulai, that's what the pasuk is telling you. Kisiyana le'ish, when there is kedushin typhus to the man, then Yodulai, then the child takes after the father. But v'chalhecha dulei Karina be kisiyana, but whenever we say that there is no kedushin being possible for this woman to this man, like Karina baby Yodulai, then we don't say that it's considered being born to him. Actually, then we consider it being born to her, that the yichus takes after the mother, and therefore, since, as we just explained, by any non-Jewish woman, Kedushin is not typhus with the Jewish man, so then the child's not going to take after him, it's going to take after his non-Jewish mother. So the Gemara says, so if we have this source, Ihachi Shifchanami, then so too the non-Jewish maidservant, this should be the source that Vlad the Kamaya, that the child should be like her. In other words, why do we need the pasuk that we mentioned before, You don't need to come on to any other psukim, because, as we said, kedushin is not taifis by a shifchei kananis, as we learned, because it says imachamar amadim elchamar. The kedushin is not taifis. So we already know that there's no kisiyena by the shifchei kananis, and therefore there's not going to be bialduloi. Rather, it's going to be bialdulah. So this should be the source for the shifchei kananis. So the Gemara says, "En chanami, you're right. You could learn it from here that not just for any non-Jewish woman, but also for a shifchei kananis, that since kedushin is not taifis, there's no kisiyena. So then it's not bialduloi. It takes after the mother." So then the Gemara says, "But elah ha'isha biladeh tila adenel lamali." But previously we brought a different pasuk to tell us this halacha of lo de kamaisa as the shifchei kananis. We said because it says that the woman and her child, even though the father is ever there, he's a Jewish man, but the children he has with the shifchei kananis takes after the mother. So what do we do with that pasuk for? If we don't need that pasuk to teach us that the child takes after the mother, because we can learn it from this pasuk of kisiyan el ish v'elduloi, so what do we do with that pasuk? So the Gemara says, look at the Tanya. It comes to teach, like we learned in the following brisa. As we continue on top of Samach Tesam and Aleph, ha'im alish shev chasse. If someone tells his non-Jewish maidservant, who's pregnant, hari at bascharen, behold, you're a free woman. In other words, he gives her this get shechur, this emancipation document, and he says, hey, you're free, but uvlad cha'evet, but your child, your embryo, your fetus, your child that's going to be born, I want him to remain an evet. Says the first opinion, havlad kemaisa, the child is like her, divrei Rabbi Yosi Glili. In other words, just like she's freed, the child is freed. Now, because as we'll learn that at the end of the Braisa, because it says in the Pasuk, Isha viladeha tila dena, the woman and her children belong to the master, which tells us only at the time when the woman is ladena, so then the vlad, the child will also, that's being born, will be ladena. But when if the woman herself is not ladena because he's freeing her, then the child that's born will also not be ladena. So although he was saying that the child should not be, but once he's freeing her, her fetus automatically comes with her, and the child will not be an eved. And therefore, again, that's what we're learning off in this pasuk, as we'll see at the end of the Braisa, which tells us this halacha, that the child takes after the mother and will not be considered an eved. But again, not to teach us that in general, the child takes after the mother, because that we know from that other pasuk of Kisiyan Lish Bi'olduloi, but rather it's coming to teach us this unique halacha, that even if he frees her but wants to keep him as a slave, you can't, because the child that's being born will take after the mother. That's Rabbi Yosi Glili's opinion. They say, no, dvarv kayamim. His words do have validity. He could do that. He could free the mother and keep the child as a slave. Now, shenema, mishum shenema, like it says in the pasuk, which is this pasuk we're coming to explain, the woman and her child will belong to her master. So the Gemara's question is, my Talmuda, where do you see from this pasuk that the master's words will be valid, that he could separate and say the mother should be free, but the child should stay a slave? Actually, the pasuk makes it sound like they're the same. So the Gemara says, you're right, I'm a Rava ad Reb Yosi Glili. This end of the Braisa, quoting the pasuk of Meshum Shenema, is not going back on the Chacham, it's going back on Reb Yosi HaGlili. That he said that actually the child is like the mother, and that if you free the mother, you cannot maintain the child as a slave. That's learned out from the pasuk of Isha Biladeh Tiladina, and that's what the Gemara is saying, that since we're learning out from this pasuk of Kisiyan L'Ish V'Yoduloi, that any woman that does not have Kedushin being typhus, like a Shifcha Kananis is included, the child's going to take after the mother and not after the father, so therefore then this pasuk is not teaching you, this pasuk of Isha Biladeh Tiladina is not teaching you that halacha, rather it's coming to teach you the halacha of B'Yisai Glili, that if you're going to free the mother, the child's going to be freed, so too.